bad. And in King City, there is also in the northbound lane a 3 to 5 minute slowdown. Highway 1 from Santa Cruz down to Carmel-by-the-Sea is looking near or at the limit. Minor slowdown in Carmel-by-the-Sea and in the Carmel Highlands. Highway 68 from Salinas into Monterey is running near or at the limit. Current temperature outside is 59 degrees. Today will be sunny with a high of 64. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 42. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 64. On the seas today, there are west winds 5 to 10 knots, increasing to 10 to 15 knots this afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet, west swells 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight, east winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves around 3 feet, west swells 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and south swells around 2 feet at 14 seconds. KSCO News Talk time is now 12:06, and we bring you to the Tom Quinn Show. Go ahead, Tom.
How you guys doing?
We're good. We're good.
So you got the whole crew on the line there?
Yeah, just about.
Sure. Let's see. Who do you got there? You got Mike.
We got Mike, Tim.
Mike Maddenly.
And Orrin.
And you got Tim, the fakeologist. So, Tim, if you could be so kind and just wait a while, because we're going to do some other things to start out. Okay, folks. This song we're going to play is dedicated to Gail Newell, the local health official. I'm sure Gail's got a good sense of humor, and she can take a little public ribbing. So go ahead and play that song.
Oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, Gail, our rights, they are for sale. Oh, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, yeah, Gail the jail. Your plan, Demick's scam, Demick's sham, Demick's gonna fail. 7 deaths equals how many livelihoods? You say that you did it all for the public good, but how many lonely children finally lost their minds? How many broken hearted committed suicide? Oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail Newell, you big pharma tool. Oh, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, Gail Newell, how could you be so cruel, you fool? Making grandma's lock down without any love. We won't live in a world without a friendly, loving heart. Your new world order agenda is running out of time. The people won't be governing this way, yeah, we all see the path. And by the way, your oath is out of compliance. We won't hear any more of your fake ass you in science. Stop blocking all the pandemic's gonna fail. Oh, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, yeah, Gail the jail, Gail Newell, our rights, they are for sale. Oh, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, Gail the jail, oh, Gail the jail, your pandemic's scam, pandemic's sham, pandemic's gonna fail. And by the way, you're old.
is still out of compliance.
Oh. Thank you, Dave Pendleton.
You're welcome.
All right. What a great song. Michael Madeley, I think it's wonderful. You there, Mike?
Let me get him up.
You hear me?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, get Orn up, too. Zorn?
Yeah.
Orn, are you there?
I'm here with you, Tom. That was a great rendition of the song. It was a little bit more clear this week than it was last week. Is that a new production that he did?
Well, it's a big improvement over the first time we played it where he was singing through the phone. But by the way, folks, this is Orrin Heatley from Rebuild California. He's the gentleman that organized the recall of Gavin Newsom. Orrin, I'm interested in your comments about Mike Madeley. So, folks, Mike Madeley, they arrested him. The public defender told him that he thought the staff of Trader Joe's could shoot him or should shoot him between the eyes because he went into Trader Joe's without a mask. That doesn't sound to me like a good public defender. And then they tried him for being on the beach after hours. And now, and the jurors wouldn't vote for that. So now they're trying to vote, do another trial. I mean, what do you think of this whole thing, Orrin? Does he seem like a public menace to you?
No, not at all. He's a public hero. He's one of my heroes for sure. But I don't think he could get a fair trial in Santa Cruz. And Mike, if they go forward with this, I would strongly encourage you to, given the statements from the public defender and the treatment that you've had in court with the system, I would seek a change of venue where you could get a more, fair trial in another area.
Well, maybe. I just, the whole concept of spending thousands of dollars to, basically try me for what would amount to an infraction makes no sense. And anybody in this county who's upset about that should probably write a letter to the Sentinel and let them know that this is happening because it's an absurd waste of money. And double jeopardy is a thing. From what I understand, we have Fifth Amendment right to not be tried twice for the same crime.
True.
And it's not even a crime. It's an actual code of regulations. So it doesn't actually fit the bill for a crime. There's a lot of things to this, which is just more than just standing on a beach. There was a lot to it. And that sign actually is out of compliance. To put up a curfew sign requires a coastal development permit from the Coastal Commission. They haven't had one in at least 17 years. And you can see that in an article, a staff report from the Coastal Development Permit application, where the city of Santa Cruz was trying to get a permit to have a curfew. And it said in this, the city argues that such a restriction is actually less onerous than nearby state parks' beach curfews, including those at Twin Lakes Beach, that prohibit all access from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then it says in a footer, commission staff has been unable to locate any California coastal development permit authorization for such nearby state park beach curfews. That means that sign doesn't have the permit that is required to even put it up in the air on that beach, which means that any action that they're taking against people on that beach for that curfew, not to mention that it's protected by Article 10, Section 4 of the California State Constitution, that sign is a fraud. And these people who are acting on this fraud are now complicit and crimes against the people of the county and all over the state and whoever's visiting, whenever they cite people for that, they have no authority to do it.
Well, let's stress the main point here, though. So they want you to go back to court again. When is this, November 30th?
November 30th, 9 a.m. It would be beautiful to have a bunch of people there because the amount of violations they've been running against me in that courtroom were outrageous. But anyways, 9 o'clock is when I'm supposed to go in for a conference, trial readiness conference, to see if they're going to run this thing again, which I don't know. I thought I lived in a constitutional republic.
Right. I think the only real gripe here is that they didn't like the fact that you and Dave Rodriguez, Teresa Bacola, and hundreds of others were constantly protesting and criticizing him, and you still are, and so am I, because that's one of the reasons I brought in an expert who'll be on in a few minutes, who's got a website, The Fakeologist, and we'll go into how fake this COVID thing is. It's totally, totally fake. So, folks, that's Mike Maddenly. He'll be in court November the 30th. That's a Wednesday.
And
a little before 9 a.m., it'd be good to be there before 9 a.m. and give Mike some support. And basically, we'll keep following this whole more. This is a court fakery.
And Tom, if I could interject a little bit, you know, folks that are listening, you're not just going to support Mike. And Mike wasn't just fighting for himself and his own rights. Mike is fighting for your rights and our rights as, you know, a community. So when you go to support him in court, you're supporting what he was standing for, and that's your rights, people. That's you. That's the rights of the public to gather and to assemble, and it's our rights for access to a public location, and that's what he's fighting for. He's fighting for you, people. So if you want to go and support your personal rights and the rights of your children and grandchildren, then show up on Wednesday, November 30th at 9 a.m. to the Santa Cruz Courthouse and support Mike Maddenly as he is fighting for your rights.
That's absolutely correct. Thank you for coming on, Michael.
So for anybody who wants to follow what's going on, you go to funkyfathers.com. You can also hear a lot of different music that's very much against this COVID baloney. So I've been writing songs about this stuff since 2019, before it even, like, came to our door.
So what's the website, funkyfathers.com?
Funkyfathers.com. I keep it simple. It's just fathers with an S. There's no apostrophe. Just funkyfathers.com.
Okay, folks. So that's Mike Maddenly, funkyfathers.com. Written a great song, Gale to Jail. We'll play it again, most likely. Thank you, Michael.
All right, y'all.
So,
thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Oren.
My pleasure. Oren, anything going on up in Sacramento lately that we should keep an eye on?
There is. Gavin Newsom has come out and openly said that he is not running for president in 2024. He's going to throw his full weight and support behind Joe Biden. So that's kind of good news. Kind of doesn't really matter to me because, you know, I don't think that Gavin Newsom would want to run against Donald Trump anyway, but it sounds like Donald Trump is putting his hat in the ring, and it's going to be a very interesting election cycle, folks. So stay tuned.
Well, I think the first thing everyone needs to do, not only in the United States, but around the world, including Brazil, is start voting in cities and towns to get rid of these voting machines, take them to the town square. Give everyone sledgehammers, pound them into pieces, put them in the recycling bins where they belong. We want voting, one-day voting. We want ID. We want paper ballots, ideally with a carbon copy. Let's get all this garbage. These voting machines are absolute garbage. What's your take on that, Oren?
My take on that is you can see what's going on around the world. You saw it happen first in Venezuela, and now it's happening in Brazil. But the good thing is there is a wave sweeping across the globe, and that is for personal freedom. And you see it taking place in Iran, of all places, where the people of Iran are finally standing up against the mullahs, and they're taking their lives in their hands to fight against the evil regime that is the totalitarian government that
will take place wherever it can take hold. And we want to prevent it from taking hold here in America, here in California. So we, and I'm not saying that the Islam religion is evil in itself. I'm saying that government follows the path of least resistance, and we need to be the ones that resist the totalitarian governments that will take hold wherever they can, under any name they can.
Well, it's
whether
a world,
it's communism or socialism or
World
or
Economic Forum.
Absolutely.
It's all about the World Economic Forum and the UN, yep, and all these fake organizations.
And we don't want to be the path of least resistance. We want to be the path of, we want to resist it. We want to be the rock in the stream that makes it go away, makes it turn another direction. We want to be that change. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's protecting our future and the future for you and your children.
So, folks, you can get a hold of Orrin Headley at rebuildcalifornia.com. I'm going to say a little prayer here, Orrin.
Thank you, sir.
So, Almighty God, please fill our souls with your love and light. Please make us enthusiastically carrying out your will and pulling people together here in the state of California and in the United States, or for that matter, the world. Please pull us all together. Please help these people of different races and cultures work together. And we ask for your assistance to make things happen, to build the kingdom of God, and to pull the state of California together in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Orrin, we're very grateful you can help us with the show, and we'll be talking to you next week. And I'm sure you'll have some interesting news about what Gavin Newsom's up to, him being a graduate of the Young Leaders Forum from the World Economic Council, World Economic Forum. That's not a good sign, and bunches of others.
Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau, yeah, those two.
Just, God bless, Tom. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you and your guest and the audience. Everybody, this is, you know, a late happy Thanksgiving to you. We do have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm very thankful to be here today and enjoy this wonderful afternoon with you folks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Orrin. So do you have Tim there?
Yes, Tim's right here.
Tim, are you there?
Hello, Tom.
All right.
Hello.
So we've been having so many fake things happening. Fake viruses, fake testing, fake vaccines, yeah, fake local government. I thought I'd bring in a professional. This is the Fakeologist. Go to fakeologist.com, and he's got a wonderful channel, fakeotube.com, and he is a gentleman that's interested in examining more closely all these things that are told to us daily on the television. Occasionally they tell the truth, maybe about what temperature it is or whether it's cloudy or not, but the rest of the time it appears to be mostly lies. Now, Tim, could you just hang on for a couple of minutes, because I got to thank some of our sponsors.
Go for it.
Okay. Okay, folks, this is the Tom Quinn Show. Been on the air for 23-something years, and basically this is a listener-supported show. I'm not an employee. We work off of donations. We appreciate your donations, large or small. You can get a hold of me at 831-435-8491. And I want to thank some individuals like Albert's been a real champ and has helped us quite a few times. Also Jeanette, John, Pureheart, Brandy, and many other people that have made small donations and sometimes large donations to keep the show in the air. I want to thank some local businesses that have been helping us, some of them for ages. Webb's Farm up Old San Jose Road. You can go 5 miles up Old San Jose Road. They have a beautiful farm up there. It's probably 100 acres. It's been there roughly 100 years. You can meet Lowell Webb at the Farmer's Market at Cabrillo on Saturdays. They have a lot of produce. And if you go to the farm itself, they have a farm supply business with rototillers, chainsaws, and that sort of thing. So that's Webb's Farm Supply. I want to thank Cody Industrial Pressure Washing. That's Bob Farmer. Give him a call at 818-6915. You need any help getting things clean, he's got the equipment to do it. All that heavy-duty cleaning equipment and pressure washing equipment for sidewalks and buildings and other things that need that type of cleaning. That's Coyote Industrial Pressure Washer. Also want to thank Santa Cruz Roofing on Commercial Way. That's Alan Fox. So we've been having rains lately. Good time to give them a call. That's 818-2032. That's Alan Fox at Santa Cruz Roofing on Commercial Way. Also want to thank Los Animas Cement. So if you're doing some building, need some concrete, give them a call. That's Los Animas Concrete out near Ensignal Street, near Costco. They've been there since 1964. They're the people that give a call if you need any help with your concrete. I want to thank also BraveAndFreeSantaCruz.net. That's a local group. They meet out at the Aptos Grange Hall the second and fourth Tuesday, and that's at 2555 Mar Vista Drive in Aptos. There's another group that meets on the La Fonda overpass near Harbor High on Wednesday afternoons and Friday afternoons. They have these huge banners, anti-vaccine banners, and we encourage you to go out there and talk to them. Maybe you can help. We want to have these banners up every day if possible. As it is now, they have them up Wednesday afternoon, Friday afternoon. Maybe with some more help, they could have them up every day. The reason why we've been having these shows repeatedly about deconstructing all this fakery connected with this so-called COVID thing is that we are trying to educate people well enough that they know this subject better than the local MDs, better than the local health officials. We've had innumerable MDs, PhDs, chiropractors, PhDs, you name it, on the show. Today we're going to have another expert on this subject. We want you to understand this stuff so that they try to start these lockdowns again. We have enough people out there to just tell them we're not participating in this nonsense. And with that being said, today we're having on the fakeologist. How are you doing today, Tim?
I'm fantastic, Tom. How are you?
Very good. So I'm glad you could help us out. You live up there in Canada. You've got a wonderful website. It's just fakeologist.com, correct?
That is correct. It is a simple one-word website, and it's a term that I decided to use because back in the day before Donald Trump came around, most people didn't associate fake media with anything, so I wanted an unbiased name for people to come with an open mind and learn.
Well, not only did I look at your website, although I can't say I'm an expert about your website, but you cover a lot of subjects. You've also got a pretty amazing channel called FakeOTube. That's FakeOTube. And that's, roughly 5,000 videos that you've collected on different subjects that you think warrant more attention, correct?
That is correct. Plus, I do a show Sunday through Thursday on FakeOTube, and I needed a reliable place to live stream. Now, all the other platforms like YouTube, they have a bad habit of censoring and deleting, and they'll even interrupt the live stream and cancel it. So I really couldn't deal with that kind of censorship, so I needed my own platform. Now, obviously, it may not be as sexy and slick as YouTube, but it is very functional and it works, and thanks to generous supporters of my channel, I'm able to stream it from 5 locations around the world, and it is quite reliable. So that's the main reason. Plus, all the videos I put up there, they tend to get deleted and shuffled off to some really minor video platforms that don't work very well. So I wanted to put my favorite videos on there so people could reliably find them, download them, share them without censorship. So that's what we all need to do is...
Well, I hope you still keep doing things on YouTube, because even though it's run by morons, they do have a lot of coverage, and basically every time they take you down, it gives us more chance to throw mud at them so more people realize what morons they are. But you use Rumble. There's so many great channels. There's Rumble, BitChute, I can't even... And then, let's see, Mike Adams has that channel, Brighteon. You experimenting
right.
with
well,
those?
They're not, they're not all great. BitChute doesn't work that well most of the time. Rumble is just another mainstream site that is on the stock exchange now. I don't know who owns it, but I think it'll be next to get, once they go mainstream, they'll start deleting stuff. So that's the modus operandi of all these channels. That's how they do it.
Well, we want to encourage as many of these channels as possible, because even though the club or cabal or whatever in the hell they call themselves,
yeah,
even though they have quite a media presence, and that indeed is going to be part of the subject today, there's just so many thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of independent voices out there pointing out what the truth is, and we want to encourage everyone to do that. I don't see these other channels as being competitors. I see them as we're all working together to get the truth out there, and it's very important. Now, the reason why I'm having the fakeologist on today is he's interested in something I'm interested in, which is, with the preponderance of control of the media in the hands of this club connected to the World Economic Forum, and we could go into that, but that's really not the subject today, is that they can just make up lies and repeat them on enough radio and TV stations and newspapers that they can convince people that pigs fly. I mean, they don't even care anymore whether it has any semblance of truth. They just repeat absolute nonsense. So whether you, I mean, I didn't always notice that. When I was younger, I just sort of assumed that the media would tell the truth. But as I got into it further, I realized something was seriously amiss. I can remember the reporting of the Kennedy assassination when I was in high school. I can remember it just like it happened yesterday. I was sitting in a high school class, and they turned the TV sets on so all the students could watch. Now that I'm older, I realized what percentage of what they told us about the Kennedy assassination was just absolute lies. And the same with 9/11. 9/11, they really overextended themselves because it fell apart rather quickly. There's just so many gaps in the stories. Then you have this COVID thing, but if you're a history buff, you could go back to the Lincoln assassination, or what the truth was about Andrew Jackson, or what was the true nature of the Civil War, or what was the funding of World War I and World War II. It just seems endless, the amount of lies and deception the media is promoting. And a lot of it's very well thought out deception. It takes some time and energy to get into it. So on your FakoTube, you're covering, even though the show today would be mostly about how fake the virus is, on FakoTube, you've got hundreds of subjects you cover, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, anything in the mainstream media that's promoted is most likely fake. Now, it's really hard to believe if you've never heard that concept before. And don't listen to Donald Trump's fake news stuff, because he really watered down the whole idea. He doesn't address what I've always addressed. Anything that he disagrees with, he calls fake, for the most part. But in reality, almost everything promoted by the mainstream media is a fake story. And most of these stories are written by some of the best script writers from Hollywood, and they're promoted by the intelligence agencies that run the world on the behalf of the obsoletes. These are the richest noble families of Europe that have always had the money, and nothing has changed over hundreds of years.
It's pretty amazing. And they also studied people like Edward Bernays, where they're very adept at using hypnosis and repetitive conditioning. And they just keep pounding these absurd lies in over and over and over again. So
I'm glad you mentioned Bernays, because I just watched the Adam Curtis documentary, or started to. And this ties in with what you were saying earlier. We have to convince people of the facts. But Bernays found out and figured out through his Uncle Freud, people don't care about the facts. They care about emotional stories. So that's what he specialized in. The facts don't matter. They don't convince people. People believe what they want to believe. They get swayed by emotion. So it's great that you brought up Bernays, because he was the expert at that. And as you've noticed, COVID is being sold strictly on emotion. They don't care if you know what a virus is, or they don't care about contagion. They just want to tell everyone that if you don't do what they say, you're going to hurt grandma and make everyone upset. And that's what works. Who wants to hurt grandma? We're not going to explain viruses to grandma.
Well, so let's...
Bernice, yeah.
Well, this is related to Bernays. Let's touch on the whole concept of trauma-based hypnosis.
Right.
That's so when 9/11 happened, millions of people were sort of in a state of trauma watching these towers fall. And when you're in that state, you're not in your logical mind. That's when
they try
to implant ideas in your head. So what were they doing? They kept saying over and over and over again, Osama bin Laden did it, Osama bin Laden did it, Osama bin Laden did it. Because they knew people were in a weakened and very receptive frame of mind from the trauma of watching the towers go down. Any comments there, fakeologists?
Absolutely. Trauma-based mind control. That's how they do it. The number one motivator for people is fear. And once people are in a fear state, they lose their brain. They don't think logically. I mean, most people here in your audience probably are familiar with the Star Trek TV show from the late 60s, early 70s.
Sure.
And every story was based on fear. And what did Captain Kirk, who did he always turn to get a read on what he should do next? There was always two people competing for Captain Kirk and giving him advice. There was the hyper-emotional Dr. McCoy, and then there was the person without, or the Vulcan without emotion, who was Spock. And Spock always broke the situation down in terms of logic. And that's why the captain always went to him, because he knew that Spock wasn't influenced by fear or trauma, because he had no emotions. He was emotionless. So that is really the best example of why we should not submit to their fear and emotional campaigns. And all these major psyops, including the latest Colorado gay nightclub show, if you watch the news carefully, they never talk about the fact. It's always emotion. They always start with a heartbreaking story. Not once do they go into the logic of what happened and why the logical story would be impossible to believe. So they don't even talk about it. They just go right for the heartstrings and sell the BS through emotion. And they know it hooks people every single time.
Well, that was certainly the case with COVID, because I mean, they were launching a campaign to scare the wits out of people. And they also know a disturbing fact that roughly 20% of the general population is very hypnotically suggestible. There's 20% of the population that's so hypnotically suggestible that if you get them in a deep enough state of hypnotic trance, you can tell them they're a duck and they'll get down on the floor and start quacking. And those were those were the people they were looking for. So they knew that some of us would question the whole COVID fakery immediately, but they didn't care because if they could get 20% to sign up for this fakery, they could sell vaccines, push vaccines on that 20%. Vaccines they knew were loaded with poisons. Vaccines that they would make tons of money. Of course, it gets into who was given them the money. Where in the U.S. Constitution is the U.S. government supposed to buy vaccines and distribute them to everyone? This whole thing is loaded with so many lies and deceptions. Where was that authorized? Certainly it was not something that was presented to the American people. So I'm curious, Mr. Fakeologist.
Yes?
Tell us all the levels of fear. You were up in Canada. So, I mean, this is like watching some sort of eruption of a volcano in the middle of the Pacific. Describe to me how you saw the fear being presented in Canada, because I'm sure it was similar to here.
Well, on most of Canada is similar to California. We have a very left-wing, left-leaning population. They're very obedient. And we had anything that happened in California, you could probably see happen in Ontario, with the fear, the trauma-based mind control, where they're just scaring the crap out of people. with the lie of contagion. And this is another logical fact that they conveniently never talk about, and that is that it's never been proven, even though it's implied all the time, that humans are not contagious. Humans can't make each other sick. Now, we may all appear sick at the same time, which implies contagion, but that's because we're often exposed at the same time to the same environmental toxins, so we all come down with the same symptoms. So then we think, oh, we're just passing it to each other, but we could be just drinking the same poison water. But the effect is the same. So they use emotion to get us off these topics of logic, where it's not logical that we are contagious.
I want to harmonize with what you just said. The average person has no way of telling whether someone's sick from a virus or from a toxin. That toxin could be a nerve gas, like sarin. That toxin could be something in the water, something in the air, something in the food. And the funny thing is, most of these MDs can't tell the difference either. The amount of time
and trained.
Right. And it takes a lot of time, trouble, and money to do all the battery of tests to see what toxins a person might have been submitted to. So I want people to see this as a possibility. If you had criminals in the pharmaceutical industry, God forbid, it would be very possible for them and their allies to distribute poisons that would cause people to get sick, and they can intentionally misdiagnose that as a virus. And that's
right.
Exactly what they were doing. And that gets into the whole thing of whether viruses have ever existed. We've had many MDs and PhDs on this show that don't believe in viruses. The whole viral theory is just nonsense. It was cooked up by the Rockefeller Foundation around 1910 to push vaccines. When did you figure out the viral theory was nonsense, Mr. Fakeologist?
Well, I knew there was a problem with the whole idea and concept of vaccination, where you take a little bit of denatured poison, put it in you, like, for instance, alcohol, and then eventually your body can defend itself against this poison. And if the poison comes along again in a greater or stronger, or what they call wild dose, then you'd be able to handle it. But I really wasn't really diving deep into this, because this was never on anyone's agenda or menu until COVID started. But the whole idea of viruses and really what makes us ill came up. Most fakeologists probably looked into the whole AIDS situation that happened in the 80s. And the same character, younger version of Fauci, was at the forefront of that story. So I had been looking into the whole AIDS scamdemic, which was really targeted at a very specific group. So if you weren't in that specific group, you probably weren't paying attention. Although they did try and make it seem like it applied to everybody, but there was no evidence of anyone outside a certain community getting sick. So obviously we didn't pay attention. And that sort of fizzled away pretty much after the whole Magic Johnson fake story, where he said he had it, but he was taking medication and he was fine, even though he didn't look sick from day one until today. He's still playing that what I call medical celebrity hoax. They hire these influencers, which is what they're called now, but in the past just sports figures and actors, to pretend and play roles because they know people pay attention to them. So really, I never looked into the whole germ theory, terrain theory in depth until now, because now so many people in the alternative medical community are talking about it, because now they finally have people paying attention, because we're all wondering what the heck is going on. So this is a worldwide audience that has opened up for people to question the media, question health. And to me, it's a great apocalypse, which is just a revealing. Finally, we have everyone's attention, And guess what? They're all going to have to continue pay attention because this is not going to stop. It's not over, guys. It's a long way from over because the great resetters have a lot of work to do. And
well, we have a lot of work to do, too, to expose their criminal nonsense. Going back to the AIDS thing, we had on Celia Farber and David Crow and all sorts of people who were around back then, and that's when I started to see the MO. The MO of this whole thing is they put some sort of poison out in society, like with polio it was DDT, with the Spanish flu during the period of time of World War One, it was the vaccines themselves. And during the AIDS thing, it was basically the drug AZT. So this is the MO, people who are listening and paying attention, is they poison a bunch of people with some drug or some vaccine, and then they say it's a virus. It's an intentional misdiagnosis in order to bring in the next step of the deception, which is get this particular drug or get this particular vaccine, and we'll save you from this horrible virus. And it's all a construct. So I can remember back then in 1990 or so, I turn on the TV set, there would be Rock Hudson or Freddie Mercury or Rudolf Nureyev, a lot of famous people, a lot of good people getting AIDS, and they'd have these a horrible appearance. They'd look like walking cadavers. You'd see them in their hospital beds, and it looked like they were going through hell. Just absolute.
By the way,
agony.
I just want to interrupt you to correct your language. Nobody gets AIDS.
I know. I'm just out.
We can't use their language.
Okay, that's fine.
If we use their language, we're falling for it.
I'm just outlining
the
fakery here.
Symptoms.
Just hang on a second. So anyway, they were telling you these people had AIDS, but it wasn't until much later it became apparent that the people were not dying of AIDS at all. They were dying from AZT. AZT was a horrible, satanic, demonic poison, just like these vaccines are given to people. So they know because of the phenomena of trauma-based hypnosis. They know from the phenomena of 20-25% of the people are hypnotically suggestible that they can just go on the TV and tell people they're sick repeatedly, and people think they have some sort of illness, and they'll run down to the hospitals and want the vaccine. The vaccine has poisons in it that makes a person sick. Then they convince the hospital, pay more money, to misdiagnose that as a virus, and voila, they create the fake numbers. Any comments, Dr. Fakeologist?
Well, the homosexual community or the sodomite community, as is more in the past, which is how it was described, they were ill from other activities, including drug experimentation activities that caused their illness. So they were sick. They were ill, which is all related to their lifestyle. So they did go to the medical community looking for answers. And the medical industry sees everything as a nail, so they only really have one or two solutions. So that's when they came up with the idea that the gay community were spreading a disease, an infectious disease, amongst themselves. But in fact, all they were doing was using a certain very toxic drug to engage in their sexual behavior, and that was what poisoned them and then gave them the symptoms of what they discussed. First, it was called GRID, which I think is gay-related immunodeficiency disease. But then Fauci decided to expand that so it was more general, so it could be applied to others and be and get more sympathy, because not everyone is sympathetic to their small community. So that's when they always bring in the infectious angle, because that way they can come out with drugs to stop the infection and stop the symptomology, which is all medical most of the medical industry, that's all they do even today for everything. So, for instance, if we are sick and have a cold and get a fever and get chills and get runny nose and coughs, all the medical community can do is give you drugs to suppress your body's natural reaction to these. So the medical community will make you stop coughing, will make your nose dry up, which doesn't help the healing process, but it makes you feel better. So,
no, I agree, and there's many, many aspects of this. So when this COVID thing first started, what was the thought process you had of how fake this was and how it was rolling along and how you gradually begin to see through it?
Well, in media fakery, there's always one big event every generation, and a generation you could define as 20 years. So most of us that had been looking at 9/11, we figured it's been about 20 years, something is going to come up. And they've been signaling about mass vaccination and contagion and a pandemic for a long time. They've tried it many times in smaller doses, the swine flu, the bird flu, the Zika, the Ebola. They've been doing it every few years, but I don't think any of us predicted it would be a worldwide rollout. But we were prepared for it, the people in our small, tiny community. And the minute this was announced on 3/11/2020, and by the way, they didn't say it was a pandemic. They said it could be characterized as a pandemic. They use word salad all the time. So really, they never said it was a pandemic. They said it was like a pandemic. It could be characterized as a pandemic. So they use these words to somehow exonerate themselves from any liability, because they could say, we never said it was. And you see them saying this even today about everything they've said. They said, we never said it was contagious. We never said this was a vaccine. We said this was an experimental biological injection. We said all that. We never said it was mandatory to take it. We just, and if you look back in the records, it's true. They never said half the things they implied. Implication is not the same as a direct statement. So I was ready. When they used those weasel words on the first day, I knew this was just going to be a simulation. And I also figured this was going to be their 10-year reset plan to reset the entire financial system, which was reset in 2008. But they needed to do it in a bigger way because they are at the end of the debt road. Everyone is so negative in debt, there's no more negative. So what do you do? What do you do when you're so far into the hole? You have to declare a day of reckoning, which is what is going to happen any day now, any month now, with the financial system. But we knew, we just didn't know how big it was going to be, and of course now we're seeing it, and it's worldwide.
So in your circle of friends and up there in Canada, have you seen many people die from these vaccines? We've been telling people for decades that vaccines are poisonous.
Yes.
And that it's really the height of fakery, the vaccine concept.
Yes.
The concept that you can inject something in your bloodstream to make you healthy, and
yes,
it's not necessary for you to exert yourself. You don't have to run or swim or eat right or get out in the sun or do any of the things people do ordinarily to get healthy. No, you just give them some money, they inject some obscure thing in your bloodstream, and supposedly you're going to be healthy. Of course, when you look at their background and you see how many people they've killed with their other drugs, you would think that would make people suspicious. You'd think they would be suspicious when people can look up the insert and see what's in most of these poisonous vaccines. In fact, the COVID vaccines, they went through a lot of time and trouble to hide the ingredients. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, they definitely played games saying, well, can't release it right now. We can't tell you what's in it because that'll affect our competitors. They definitely played games on that, and they just played duck and cover. And once their hand was forced, then they revealed it. But by then, the effect is already over. People have already moved past it. They don't care. They don't care what's in it at that point because the operation is already underway. Now we care because we're the 5% or less than 5% that's looking into it. But most people in America and around the world are addicted to drugs. They're addicted to the medical system. And they can't, it wouldn't even cross their radar to figure out that the medical system was actually one of the leading causes of death, iatrogenic death, which is death by doctor, death by treatment.
It's pretty amazing. So, let's see, what do we got? About 4 minutes left. So one thing that we don't have enough time to go into a lot of detail, and it's very controversial, but I can remember years ago seeing these funny little blurbs and blogs that would say things like, Michelle Obama's a dude. And I used to think it was hilarious. And then I started looking at it more closely, and I thought, you know what? There might be some truth to this. So how'd you start thinking about, what do they call it, elite gender inversion or transvestigation, where a lot of these people in this club, they pride themselves on reversing their gender. And you look at them on TV and they look like regular people. But if you go, if you go on the internet and look up Chuck Schumer, look at his wife. It looks like a dude with lipstick. And Michelle Obama is very suspect. So what do you think? Is Michelle Obama a dude, or is that just a woman with unusually big shoulders? Where I would think that any woman that had shoulders that were 4 or 5 inches wider than her hips, how could that be a woman?
Well, listen, the argument is that there are man-like women and girly-like men. I think we agree with that. But people should be aware, and they are being made aware by the obsoletes, that there is what's called a transgender agenda going on right now. I think most of us realize this is happening. So if anyone spends 2 seconds looking into the whole agenda, because they're pushing it, we're not pushing it. The elite are that rule the world are pushing it. So you have to ask why. And you have to ask, well, how long has this been going on? And what is the purpose of all this? That's really what motivated me. So when you start looking into it, you realize that these elites have been trying to play God for a long time. They've always wanted to usurp God. And they've always wanted to do better than God. So this, when you go down the rabbit hole, which you and I have done, then it goes very long, very deep. This has been going on for a long time, and you will be shocked when you look into all the religious, all the medical, all the anti-human, all the eugenic roots of this. So they're not just telling your kids, they're not just telling their 3- and 4-year-olds about the transgender just because they want them to have an open mind. There's a deeper, more anti-religious, more anti-spiritual agenda, and there's huge billions of dollars of money behind this right now.
Well, we're
so
running out.
I encourage everyone to look into it.
We're running out of time, Tim. So,
okay.
Today we're interviewing Tim. You look at his website, fakeologist.com. That's FAKEOLOGIST.com. Look at his other website, FakoTube. That's FAKEOTUBE.com. And if you're interested in what he was talking about, you can see stuff on elite gender inversion, on the fakery of COVID,